This is the Create Your Own Life Show, episode 448, with the inspiration engineer, Kaveh.
You're listening to the Create Your Own Life podcast, the show to help you create life on your terms. 3 days a week, Jeremy Ryan Slate interviews the most successful people in business and in life to help you create the life you want to create. Welcome to Life Creation Nation.
Hey guys, so let me ask you, do you need more visibility in your business? What if you guys could get on unlimited podcasts, just like this one you're listening to now? I actually put together something special for you guys, and I'm going to help you guys present yourself as a professional, target the correct shows, write the perfect pitch, and get interviewed on some top-rated podcast to help grow your business like cray-cray, because I want to see you do that. Guys, I've actually built my influence from podcasting to the level of being featured in Forbes, Inc., television, and also ranked 2 years running as one of the top podcasts to follow by CIO magazines. So if you guys are having these problems of not getting noticed, of people not finding you and not seeing you and not seeing your brand grow and opportunities aren't coming to you, then guys, you're not alone, because 90% of entrepreneurs are failing to create the visibility they need to sell more of their products and services. But guys, I have the blueprint that took me from zero to top influencer in less than 12 months and has helped my team at Command Your Brand Media to book 500 plus podcasts. So guys, you can head over to jeremyryanslate.com/getonpodcast and find out about my new course, The Ultimate Guide to Getting Interviewed on Top Rated Podcasts. There's limited time pricing on this one, guys. I cannot offer this pricing forever, so definitely check that out. jeremyryanslate.com/getonpodcasts. This episode is sponsored by audible.com. Guys, Audible is one of the best places to get and listen to audiobooks. I know for myself, I am a huge audiobook listener, especially when I'm working on this podcast and all other sorts of things. There are so many different books that you can check out over there. Right now, I'm listening to James Altucher's book, Choose Yourself. I was actually listening to it while I was working today. So that is my recommendation of a book to check out right now. And in this episode, you're going to find out a big announcement that I have going on with James as well. So to get your free audiobook, to get James Altucher's Choose Yourself audiobook for free, head over to jeremyryanslate.com/book and sign up for your free Audible trial and get your free book. Hey everyone, Jeremy here, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Create Your Own Life Show. Very excited to be hanging out with you today, and very excited to share today's guest with you. His name is Kaveh, and he is an artist turned entrepreneur helping to create amazing inspiration for the world. He's going to talk about what it was like coming out of the world of hip-hop, selling for his first concerts, and some of the biggest things he's learned from there that he's taken into being an entrepreneur and sharing his inspiration with the world. But before we jump into this one, I want to remind you guys to subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts or Spotify so that you don't miss another new episode. And while you're over there, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a 5-star review, because it really helps others to have the same success that you're having. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get into this interview with Kaveh.
Everything gonna be all right.
What's up, everybody? Jeremy here. Guys, I am stoked for today's guest, as we have with us the very talented Kaveh. He is a musician, speaker, entertainer, and coach. And this is all a day in the life of Kaveh, inspirational engineer. Kaveh has been featured in Huffington Post as the strategist to watch and recently gave a TEDx talk called The Rise of the Inspiration Engineers, and serves to help you reach your full potential. Kaveh is currently working on a college tour to help spread his mission that you can create your own lane. You can find out more about him over at Kaveh.com. That's Kaveh.com. Welcome to the Create Your Life Podcast, Kaveh.
What up, brother? What's going on, everybody? Appreciate you having me on the show. I'm super excited and stoked to get into this and help others create that life that they dream. So let's rock it out.
Dude, it's like Oprah or LeBron or like who else here? Justin, like, you know, you're one name, man. Nobody even knows your last name. It's a thing of the past.
It's a thing of the past. It's hilarious because people will ask me their last name and I'm like, no last name. They're like,
the phonetic spelling of my first name, of course.
Right, exactly. And the facial reactions are hilarious when that comes out. But yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely, brother. So I know you have a really, really powerful story. So let's dive into that, man. What's your story?
Yeah. So I started out in music. I was one of those kids or one of those guys that knew what he wanted to be when he was really young. And at the time, it was like, you know, it was funny because my parents would give me, I call it the glory speeches. You know, you can be anything you want to be, do anything you want to do. And I was like, Dad, like, I finally figured it out. I'm going to be a musician. And he's like,
except
not that. Like, yeah, don't do that. Do something else. Like, really, bro? So I started mentoring with a guy that actually wrote a song for Kevon Edmonds, which is Babyface's brother. He was one of my early mentors, and he was teaching me, like, how to produce beats, how to make music. And so I just love that. I just love that process. So because I loved it and had a natural affection or affiliation with people, I was like, hey, I'm just going to share what I love. And so when I was in high school, we put on a concert and sold 1,209 tickets on a single I had called Bob Your Head at the time. And it was just crazy. It was kind of like one of those gladiator movies where he comes out. He's like, are you not entertained? I mean, it was crazy. Like, they're glad. And so from that, you know, wanting to duplicate that, I wasn't able to get actually paid for the concert. So a lot of people back in those days, Master P, you know, around that time, a lot of the rappers at that time were selling drugs to get venture capital. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to go that route. Like, not knocking anybody who does that. Like, I don't recommend that, but not knocking anybody. I'm not going to do that. And it was a lot of, you know, going out, selling CDs on the street, focusing on giving content and giving shows and giving performances. And that's where I started in 2009. And while I was doing that, I was working for a lot of corporations like Google, Dish Network, University of Phoenix, learning skills of how to be a salesperson, mastering that lane. And if we fast, because it's a pretty long story, I don't want to overwhelm us with too long of a story, but fast forward to now, I started learning about entrepreneurship and seeing the hybrid or the parallel between being an entrepreneur and being a musician or building your brand. And they're one and the same, really. The music industry doesn't provide capital and resources and mentorship and things like that for artists like it works in the entrepreneur world. And so I just started to show people that you can build your brand, any personal brand, no matter what it is, the same principles are the same to take it where you want to take it. So that's what we do now.
Very interesting. So let's go back to, you know, that concert, man. Like, your attempt was to sell a ton of tickets, but it didn't exactly, you know, go that way, right? Like, it didn't exactly go the way you were hoping for. So how do you come back from something like that and continue going? Because a lot of people give up when they kind of get a failure like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one, it did expected it to do. Matter of fact, it did more than what I expected. The second one was at Ball State University. And it was funny because I was meeting with this guy named Bob Myers. He was like the director of Emmons Auditorium at the time. And every day I would go in, the show was very well promoted, right? It was in the Palladium Idaho and it was all over school. It was actually when you went to bsu.edu, my picture was on the front page of the school website. Like, it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. And he's like, your show's going to fail. I'm like, it's not going to fail. Like, it's going to be doing. This is like Monday through Friday. Every day I would go to his office. He'd be like, the show is going to fail. And I'm like, it's not going to fail. And so when we did the second concert out of 3,500 tickets to be sold, we sold 333. And it was just the most heart-wrenching, like, depleting feeling because it feels like crickets. What I learned from that at the moment, at the time, I was so distraught. I was so hurt that I dropped out of college. I had a GPA. My GPA suffered. It dropped down to like 2.2 because I was so involved with the concert. And the school, to me, didn't hold up certain ends of the bargain that they said they were going to do. So I went ahead and dropped out. Like, that was my initial way of handling it because I was so hurt. But the things that I learned from it looking back, right, 333 tickets, a lot of artists to this day would love to do a show for 333 people. So that told you, right? I mean, that tells you where my mindset was. I was really big-headed. I was really young. I was very ego, you know, centric, if you will. And so, you know, that was the biggest thing. If I could do it over again, I wouldn't mm-hmm. have completely just dropped, abandoned right. ship. I think a smarter choice is to make a transition. Transition right. to another, you know, college or community school, or, you know, go somewhere else and build again. For me, it was like, okay, F the world. I'm going to go show you. I'm going to prove you wrong. And that was the direction that I chose.
Absolutely. And a lot of entrepreneurs have struggled with the business side of things and like making that all makes, or I'm sorry, a lot of musicians have struggled with the business side of things and making it all make sense. So for you, how were you able to, I guess, meld being an entrepreneur and being a musician, since a lot of people struggle with that?
Well, the reality is, again, they're actually the same. I think if you're an artist or a musician listening to the show right now, I would tell you, first and foremost, do not put 80% of your time into creating content. Right. A lot of musicians are like, oh, I need more music. I need more songs. And it's like, no, you don't. You need one record. You need one hit record with a dope video, like Gangnam Style. Right. Like the Gangnam Style guy. I don't think he made a song since Gangnam Style, but we all say it. Right. So you need one hit smash record, and all your time, all your energy, all your resources needs to go into the marketing and the communicating that music or getting it out there. As far as just mistakes, going back to that question and to wrap that up or bring that to a full conclusion, when you're going to hit hurdles, you're going to hit obstacles, you're going to hit roadblocks. It is a part of the journey. There's no way around it. So now what I tell people is surround yourself with other mentors. Surround yourself with people like Jeremy Ryan Slade and other friends and other people that can build you up and be there and where you are when you hit those roadblocks, and continue to program your mindset or program your consciousness with positive material. So, you know, go to your local library or go get Jeremy's Audible, his Audible free, and then get Audible so that you can get books and content to continuously program you to stay in that positive mindset and positive habits. Does that make sense?
No, totally. So let me ask you then, you know, you're doing a lot of different stuff now. This is a double word there. That's kind of weird. But let me ask you, you know, you're doing a lot of interesting stuff now. So how does one define an inspiration engineer?
An inspiration engineer was put together for me specifically, was there was too many things. I was in too many boxes. So one side of the spectrum, they say a jack of all trades is a master of none, right? Then you've got mm-hmm. the Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar philosophy, which is on the right side of the spectrum, that says the more value you have or the more skills you have, the more people you can help. So inspiration engineer, I didn't fit in one box. Another guy that, you know, people say he's a motivational speaker, but he's much more than that. You know, he's neuro-linguistic programming certified. He's a coach. He's a strategist. He helps with consulting. He does a lot of things. So an inspiration engineer for me, being that I had an audio engineer background and I do mix and record records, plus, you know, the strategy of the consulting, normal business, the speaking and being an entertainer, I didn't fit in one lane. And so what I did was there was a guy named Matthew Pollard, Rapid Growth Guy. And he's a marketing guy, right? But he goes by Rapid Growth Guy. And he was like, you know, create your own title to separate yourself from everybody else. You don't have to be in this box. And he was the first person to tell me that. And I was like, okay. So I came up with about 10 to 15 different titles. And I surveyed them to the community and was like, hey guys, what do you guys think? And we took that like 15 lists, narrowed it down to 5. Then we took it down from 5 to 2. And then everybody else chose inspiration engineer. They were like, that's your title. And I was like, okay, bet. Like, let's go. So that was how we are engineer, which is the hybrid again of a strategist, an entertainer, a speaker. Eventually, I want to get into venture capitalism. I do some philanthropy now, just small level. So it's a hybrid of those different quote unquote titles.
That makes a ton of sense. So let me ask you then now, like how does that, I guess, you know, change the impact you want to make? Like what does the impact you want to make look like because you're an inspiration entrepreneur?
Well,
or inspiration engineer, sorry.
Yeah, no way. It changes anything. I think it just gives for different purposes, as in, you know, being just a high energy guy and people tell me, you know, you're very inspirational or we can connect to you. I think that it enables my story, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it changes what I do. I don't think that we as human beings, and this is just, you know, humans, right? When we have we speak multiple languages, we can name off our languages that we speak and nobody's confused. But for whatever reason, when we look at a title, we identify ourselves as the title.
Yeah.
Put you in this one thing. And it's like, no, like I can be multi, you know, faceted with skills, right? And so with that stated, I don't think it changes anything. Only thing it does, and by doing this, once you fall in this umbrella, by having your own title, it opens up a dialogue.
Right.
Because people will say, what do you do? Inspiration engineer. Oh, what is that? Like, what does that consist of? And now we can have a great conversation around this made up title, right? I mean, but it technically is made up. So that's what I would say. I would say, A, don't build your identity around your title. B, skills and you feel unfulfilled as I did, because that's what I felt. I felt like I was lying to people, like not really telling who I am and what I do. There's nothing wrong with creating a title that makes sense and being able to reverse engineer it so that people can understand it.
So let me ask you then, what's something that Covey believed at like 20 or 21 that he doesn't believe now?
20 to 21, I believed that it was going to happen a lot sooner. But the journey, I thought I would arrive. I thought that I would arrive. I will just say that. I think that you never arrive. One thing that I've learned, you know, speaking of Tony, is we're always growing or dying, and there is no in between.
Sure.
So if you're always growing, you're always learning, you're always developing, you're always adding on, and there is no such thing as I've arrived. And that would be, I think, the wisest transition of philosophy that I have now versus what I had back then.
Absolutely. So tell me about this college tour you got going on, man. Like, you know, what is the idea behind this and what's this going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be filled with a lot of what we call keynote concerts, which are half speech and half performance. It is going to be dope. We're scheduling out different breakout sessions with the students, and we're working with community colleges, your regular universities. I recently gave a fireside chat at University of Delaware, and it was just all Q&A. And that was just a great experience. We got a lot of great feedback and the students loved it. And I thought, man, that was dope. Like, definitely dope. What if we add to it and we make it more engaging, and it feels more like a traditional concert you go to? So that's what I'm super excited about. And we're just now in the earlier stages of fulfilling that, the fulfillment on that tour. But that's what it's going to be full of, teaching people, you know, how to build a brand, sharing my story, and putting on some electrifying music performances.
So how long is this experience going to take you? Like, how long are you going to be on the road?
We're going to go from October to March in Q2. Yeah, we started Q2, and during that time frame, everybody was basically wrapping up their, you know, semesters for spring, getting ready for summer. So a lot of people, all the deans and the different directors of student life, things like that, they were like, "Hey, you know, we love what you're talking about. Like, let's reconnect end of summer, early fall, and let's plan it out." So the tour will go from October to March, with hopes of then going internationally, spreading it out even further. So that's our game plan, and we're attacking it each and every day.
So why universities, man? Like, why are you starting there?
Great question. Starting at universities because, you know, your go-to market is there. You also, I think there's still a significant amount of people that believe once I have my degree, I've arrived, right? I got my degree. Right? I'm set up for success.
If only.
Correct. If only. And the biggest thing that I think, if we look at the numbers, I haven't looked at the data recently, but it was like 35,000-45,000, like with a degree. So by teaching people again how to build their personal brand, they don't have to rely solely on the degree. They can use the degree as a platform or something to position and leverage on their behalf, but not necessarily say, okay, I got my degree, now life is going to be easy, I'm going to get hired, have my dream life. It's like, hey, you know, I thought that was going to happen. It didn't happen. This, you know, is now just a tool on your utility belt, and use it, rely on it. And I think the age demographic there, people that really love our content is between age 14 up to about 35. So, you know, if we start at schools, we're automatically hitting that, you know, 18 to 23 range, right? And then being able to use that and leverage that to get back, you know, get more into the high school space and to build around it.
Absolutely. So to you, Covey, what does it mean to be world-class? And when you hear that, what's the first person you think of?
World-class to me, I would say, means being a master at your craft. It's a mastery around something specifically that you do that nobody else can do or give. I think that in order to become world-class, you know, they talk about like 10,000 hours. You've got to really put your 10,000 hours in what you do and really love it. And, you know, it's a passion at the core of your heart. It's something that you would do for free because it means that much to you and you have something to really contribute to the world. That to me, in its essence, is being a world-class professional.
And who's that first person that comes to mind for you?
First person that comes to mind, I look to a lot to Tony. Tony Robbins is one of my go-tos. I think Tony, the beauty about Tony, and you mentioned Oprah, and you mentioned some other one-namers at the beginning of the show. The thing about Tony especially is that you can't get a Tony experience. So when you go to his concerts, because they're concerts, when you go to his concerts, they're not labeled concerts, but when you go to them, you can't get that anywhere else. And that's what I want with the Cave experience. Like, you can't get a Cave experience from anybody else on the planet, not because of trade marketing or intellectual property rights, due to just the experience is so dynamic. It's so different to what any content creator is doing that it sets us apart. And I look to Tony for that specifically because he's a master and he's done it.
This episode is brought to you by Assistagram.us. If you guys have not heard previous interview on this show with Zach Benson of Assistagram.us, I've had some amazing help from him the last couple months in being stuck at about 16,000 in my Instagram following. And if you really want to create a lot of traffic for the show like I have, I've done a lot of it through Instagram. Working with Zach has been amazing, guys, over at Assistagram.us. He's helped me go from that 16,000 to where we were stuck to now 23,600. And he's doing some cool stuff over there. We have he has somebody on his team that's managing my account, so doing posting for me and posting at the correct times of the day and posting the correct type of content, working with the correct type of accounts, shout-outs, all that kind of stuff. And I don't have to do it because Assistagram has been doing it for me. You do see some of my posts over there every so often, but it's great to have them doing that and helping me grow that account by not really having to have my attention on it. Because as a busy entrepreneur, we end up doing so many different things that I really don't have time to sit and remember to post on Instagram since I can't really schedule things. So guys, you can check them out over at assistagram.us, and there'll be a link in the show notes to this episode as well, but assistagram.us.
Totally. So I want to talk a little bit more about that Cave experience. You're talking about the blending of music, the blending of inspiration and talking and things like that. So I want to kind of hear from your viewpoint, why is it so important to have, I guess, a blend of these different auditory, visual, and like audio experiences in terms of actually helping somebody make the transformation you want them to make?
Well, I would say, I would ultimately say it's a mixture of both. It's not when people come to us, look, same thing with Tony, right? He's got coaches underneath his brand that help you on the transformation piece, or you hire him directly. So we'll still have that element to our brand. With the performance piece, though, of why, A, it's going to separate what we do from everybody else. B, I believe that people, it retains when they are entertained. People, like, think about it now, right? We've got IGTV, which just came out. People are on their phones all day wanting content, and the content that they want is all usually visual, and the visual content that they seek is usually somewhat entertaining or engaging. So when we think about your favorite musicians, whether, you know, for people in our space, it could be like a Drake, or if we look at like a Michael Jackson, all-time great entertainer, like whoever, right? We remember those people. We are drawn to those people due to their type, their performance, and due to how they make us feel. So if we can create that feeling and that empathy or that vulnerability within the music, and now we have your attention and you're like, oh, that was catchy, and now we've got something practical to tie into that, we believe that people will better retain that information. There'll be a memory that they'll never forget.
Totally. And it's interesting because I feel like that's something that can make an impact, but then there's also part of the other side of it where we have these big breakthroughs at events or in different things, but we can't always like carry them forward. So in your mind, how do we take these breakthroughs and continue to carry them forward after the event's over?
I think it comes back to like a positive affirmation. It comes back to reflection. It comes back to meditation on, you know, the content and the material that you're absorbing. Within the sector of performance and events, we have Motivation Music, which is one of our trademarks, which is music lyrics that actually help you with those positive affirmations, which is different. It is new. And I think that by having one big thing for people to do when you go to events or you go to workshops, make sure you take a notepad and something to write with, and you're taking notes because you're going to better retain that information by writing and pen to paper. So going back to those notes or reflecting on those notes, reflecting on the things and that experience is going to overall better help that person be able to put it into action. And then don't wait, right? A lot of people are like, they'll absorb something and then they'll set it down. Don't set it down and just wait. Use what you learned as fast as you can so that it will help you in the process of retaining. And then there's one quote from Peter Voogd that I really like, where he said that, you know, when you really have the information is when you can teach somebody else. When you can teach somebody what you've learned, then you've actually retained the information. And I think that's phenomenal.
I really like that. I'm always a huge fan of everything I hear Peter saying because he always seems to be very, very on point. I want to hear from you, though. What's been the biggest lesson that you've learned thus far in your life?
I think one of the biggest lessons for me has been understanding that someone may have the best intention for you, but they don't know necessarily what is best for you. And I think a lot of people, we listen to our parents or an early guardian of some sort or a teacher, and everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody thinks that they know what's best, but nobody knows what's best. Only you know what is best for you. So keeping that in mind, that an opinion is just an opinion. There was a gentleman named Cullen Haskins, and I went to a Millionaire Mind seminar, and he said, you know, it's not right. It's not wrong.
Did you just say Cullen Haskins?
Yeah, Cullen Haskins.
I love Colin Haskins. I haven't talked to him in a bit years. Back from my shop.com days, man. I love that dude.
That's my boy. And he said,
Haskins, man.
He said, happy Haskins. He said, it's not right. It's not wrong. It's indifferent. And it's based on my experience, ... Now I can advise you. And so when people are giving us advice, it's really only from the perspective of what they are, the scope of their experience, of what they understand. So if you're not talking to someone who's built their dream, it'd be like you, Jeremy, right? Like, think about it like this. How can someone who is a slob and overweight tell us how to be healthy?
Yeah.
They can't, right? They can't do that. So with that stated, it's the same thing. Like, you want to make sure that the mentors and the advice and the counsel that you're receiving are people that have A, done what you have done or at least are edifying you or programming you with the type of information that's going to help you propel your career versus people that are against you. So that was the biggest lesson learned for me.
Absolutely. Wow. That just blew my mind that you mentioned Cullen Haskins, by the way. I haven't talked to him in forever. That's awesome.
Dude, when he said that, I don't know. It was like the light bulb clicked on. I was just like, huh? Like, wow, you know, it is based on everybody's experience. I mean, everybody's feedback is based on their experience. And, you know, I would listen to people that aren't going after, you know, a dream or aren't doing things that I'm doing, thinking that they're counseling me to be my best self. And it's like, you know, they're not. So, you know, they're it's limited. And that was huge, you know, very huge. And I think a lot of people, they're trying to get their parents' delight early on, or they're trying to, you know, appeal to somebody. And I think that, again, you want to be around people that can actually propel your career. So I would just tell people or advise people, be careful who is in your early counsel.
Absolutely. And now that you mentioned that and you mentioned your counsel, I want to find out for you, Kaveh, like, you know, in you know, now and today as looking at it, like if you had to define your counsel, who would you say are those people you look to?
Man, there's a lot of people I look to online. And the beauty of having internet and being digital as we are, is a lot of people you can get mentorship from online. So some of the biggest influences on me, I mentioned Tony, Lewis Howes is a huge one, Pat Flynn, You know, the Tim Ferrisses, the Gary Vaynerchuks out there. Those are your e-mentors, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Les Brown. Those are all my e-folks. Then as far as I have a circle of friends like yourself and people like us that are all you know, getting to where we want to be, that are elevating. And that list is massive. You can get free counsel from score.org. So when I first started, if you're in the United States, that is, score.org has people that are retired, you know, former, you can research, you know, whom you want to find, but they have former executives that you can go to for resources. And so I started there. And then as I built up my personal network, I started to, you know, reach out to people. Like there's a guy I'm talking to right now named Peter Hollins. So I'm trying to figure out like, how can I be of value to you? Because you've done exactly what I want to do using a platform called Patreon. So even as I said, you never stop growing and stop learning. I'm trying to get a new mentor now. So the mentors that I have, they have different specialties in different things. Justin Wu, I talk to a lot. Felix Hartman, Tyler Wagner. Like I said, yourself, Sherry Aimee. I mean, there's a lot of people, Sammy Rosani. I mean, I can name drop. I can name drop all day. I try to find people that have great skills in specific things. And then, you know, I look at ways that I can help them and how they can, you know, hopefully help me. And then I reach out and connect and, you know, get my questions answered.
Very cool. Very cool. So for you then, Kaveh, like if we're looking at everything you've done, what would you say is your biggest skill set and how do you believe you developed that?
I think my biggest skill set is networking and personal relationships. I actually think that it was embedded in me or ingrained in me from early on, just a natural love for people. I don't know how I developed it. I mean, I guess from a, you know, when we look at sales or we look at what we call relationship acquisition, mastering, you know, the art of asking questions to get to a destination, I think that has improved and upgraded upon that skill set. But that's been my number one, is just being really good and genuine about building relationships and connecting and you know, figuring out ways to help other people. That would be what I would say I have done. I don't know if that would be different, but I would say that that's what I do that makes me who I am.
Absolutely. And just as we're winding down here, if we can look at your legacy and everything you've created in your career, and we're far in the future, and we can sum this up with a quote in your tombstone, what's that look like, man?
My quote would be, you know, go after your dreams, live life to the fullest, and go after God.
Very cool. Well, Kaveh, thank you so much for hanging out with me today, man. For all those people listening, if they want to connect with another guy with one name, you know, like Oprah or Prince or the Donald, you know, where's the best place to find you online, man?
You can hit me up on Kaveh.com, Kaveh.com. I'm on Instagram all day, every day, same thing. And I'm on any other platform out there. The least is Snapchat. So if you guys are snappers or what's the word, Snapchatters, I don't even know what the verbiage is. But if you're on Snap, that's the least. Just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever, and I'll definitely we'll definitely get connected.
Absolutely. Well, Kaveh, thank you so much for joining me today, man.
Hey, thank you, Jeremy.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with me and Kaveh today. You can check him out over at Kaveh.com. That's Kaveh.com. Or you guys can get the show notes for this episode over at jeremyryanslate.com/448. Also, guys, don't forget to subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And while you're over there, leave us a 5-star review. I want to hear how it's going and help others to create a life on their own terms in a high-performance way. All right, guys, rock on, and I'll catch you on Wednesday.
Now go out there and create your own life. Motivation may be great, but action is better. Get it done, my friends.